So here we are on the radar. I'm Sarah, and I'm here with Juan.
Hello, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. And I'm really excited to talk to you about what you're working on right now.
I'm excited as well. I drove all the way from Chicago over here. That's how excited I was.
Time traveled.
You know, we got to do it. Put in the work, they say.
Mm-hmm. So, as a healer, how would you describe yourself?
How would I describe myself? I would say I am a guide to help people who may not know what is going on in their life, may have certain challenges that elude their best thinking, and just help them go down the road that they need to go and help them remove any of the mental or emotional obstacles that may be in their way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we say healer, or I use that term. I mean, my practice is called Luminous Healer. And ultimately, it's helping people activate the Luminous Healer within, helping mm-hmm. them find that light within that has all the answers. And so I'm just a guide who holds their hand.
Mm-hmm.
Gives them a kick in the butt when they need to, when they need it. And sometimes we want to stay in the nest of conformity, and that tends to create most of our challenges.
Mm.
And so it's really about seeing what is keeping you there, right? Usually it's fear, and helping a person feel the fear and then move through it versus allow the fear to keep them stuck or immobile or running away.
So I'm curious about how you started with this journey.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I'd say there was two origin stories, but for the sake of time, I would say this particular path started 8 years ago on a winter solstice in 2008. And it was a time when I was going through a personal challenge where I was really, you could say, in a dark night of the soul where things weren't lining up internally. By internally, I mean I didn't feel good. My emotions felt more depressed than I would like. And I wasn't really sure, what am I supposed to do? I thought I was doing everything right.
Mm-hmm.
I was at DePaul University studying honors finance and accounting as a double major. And it was like my dream when I went back to school to become an honors student, to get all this prestigious awards. And once I got there, it was at the sacrifice of who I was, who I am here to be, which is more spiritual and connected and more of an entrepreneur, if anything, in the business realm. And in that place of having relationships that were meaningful come to an end, business partnerships that came to an end, health situations that seemed to really make me uncomfortable. In that uncomfort is where I found shamanism.
Mm-hmm.
And the gateway into it was meditation and ceremony. And so after that experience on the solstice of 2008, it was a shamanic ceremony. And in that experience, I felt connected again. I remembered who I was. I remember what I'm here for. And that was to be a healer. That was to help both myself and others who would like assistance or are seeking answers, to help them find those answers, help them find the way out of the hole that we create for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that ceremony, I just went to the Oracle Google and said, where are the teachers that do the shaman thing? And found this amazing school called the Four Winds Society, which is a Peruvian-based shamanic global school. It was one of the top two schools I could find. And I said, that's it. I'm going there. And that's basically what brought me here.
So you went to Peru?
I have been to Peru. That school is based here in it was based in Utah when I started. I believe it's in Florida now. But it is it was meant to be a school to train Western shamans. As for most of us here in the West or in North America, it's not conventional or even part of our culture to do shamanism the way that it's done in South America, for example, in Peru, where people live with the land and they're still connected in ways that we are not. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't make sense to go on pilgrimages to the mountain when our mountains are skyscrapers, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was the goal of the teacher, was to teach Western shamans, how do you process all of this mental, logical stuff that we're used to and implement the more subtle, intuitive, spiritual aspects of the work in a way that you can do for yourself as well as teach others to do for themselves as well.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I first met you, you handed me this business card with some mountains on it, and I found it a couple months later in my car and ended up having a dream about mountains and just wondering what this means, like this huge rock.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was looking, it's a Vista print card, and I was just looking for something that resonated with the work I do. And that mountain, for example, is one of the main deities, if you would call it that, of the Peruvian Andean tradition. And because in the Andes, those are some of the biggest mountains next to the Himalayas. You know, there's 17,000 feet above sea level. And, you know, for them, the mountain is what gives them protection. It is what gives them sustenance. It is what allows them to have a life. And so they built a relationship with the mountain. The mountains are considered to be, if I were to say it in English, something kind similar to archangels, right? They're winged beings. Each mountain has a specific energy to it and power to it. And so they're like the guardians of Mother Earth, if you will. Mm-hmm. So in Peru, in the Andes, they do a lot of ceremony to the mountains because they have that connection. And so the high mountain shamans or the Alto Misayoks typically are found or find their ability because they are struck by lightning oftentimes. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it's a literal lightning will strike them, they survive, and after that they have some ability that has been awakened. Mm-hmm. You know, and so they continue their pilgrimage with the mountain that initiated them to gain more strength and power and connection. Mm-hmm. And so what are these rocks? You know, geologically speaking, usually it's two tectonic plates crash and rise up. Spiritually speaking, it's a force from the earth that rises up. And so most of the times they are seen as masculine, but there are also feminine mountains. And yeah, does that answer the mm-hmm. question?
Yeah. And you mentioned a song that you're into is called Warrior People. Can you talk about what that means to you? Is it by Nako? Is that?
Nako Bear and the Medicine Tribe. When I came back from Peru, I started a radio show myself called Living Lounge Chicago, and it was connected to an event I did in 2014. And the point of the event was to bridge the genre of music to help us connect spiritually and connect more so as a community. And that song in particular from Nako. Nako is considered one of the pioneers or more so leaders right now, one of the more outspoken, spiritually earth-based type conscious musicians.
I'm on a journey. journey. I'm just a human being on another fucking journey. Why will there be peace from? But I keep my knife in my side. I will break for compassion. Uh-oh. But if war comes through my door, you know I'm really passing. Warrior mentality, my responsibility. Bringing it to my people now. Get that reservation, gonna make my situation. My situation, I come from a long line of people in this place. I am an Indian, I'm on a mission. These times have been 50 for certain reservations. I'm changing, it's amazing. Every day gets a new day for this Indian and training. I am a hustler, got all kinds of customers. People need their medicine, this music promotes consciousness. That's present, future tense, all the healing elements. Everything you're doing now is definitely relevant. Where are your people? Where are your people? Where are your people? Rob them of your people. Where are your people? Rob them of your people. Manifest the peace doing the strength of an ego. Where are your people? Where are your people? Where are your people? Rob them of your people. Where are your people? Rob them of your people. Manifest the peace to use ambitious as a lethal. I will learn to be peaceful, but I keep my knife in my side. I will break with compassion. Wow. But if war comes to my door, you know I'll be the blasting. Warrior mentality, my responsibility. Give it to my people now. I'll let it get me. Feeding me, I'm feeding me. I'll feed me, feeding me.
My favorite song he's made. It's what it means to me is that, you know, we are warriors, right? We come from, to be alive in this world, we need to embrace the warrior, because this world isn't easy, right? From the moment that we're pulled out of the safety of the womb and smacked on our ass and welcomed to the cold world, it was labor. There was labor involved to get out of the womb. There's labor involved in growing up. And so it's work, and you have to want to do that, right? You have to be able to sustain the failures and the challenges, which requires a certain type of warrior spirit if you're going to make it through and not let the challenges of life, you know, bring you down or disconnect you, right? Mm-hmm. From following your soul's purpose. So to me, it's kind of like a rallying call, mm-hmm. that calls people back to their essence, back to their strength. And yeah, it just, that's what it means.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm also curious about your webinar coming up. So how can people
connect to the webinar? Well, you can connect to the webinar at luminoushealer.com, and there that there will be information right when the page is up. Mm-hmm. We had the first webinar about 2 weeks ago, The next webinar will be within the next, I believe it's in July 24th, around that time, like the last week of July.
So what are some things you discuss in the webinar?
In the webinar, it's called Awakening the Luminous, Your Luminous Healer Within. And we talk about three keys that help people connect to the natural flow and wisdom of their spirit. And so we talk about how you can connect, right? Easy ways to connect to the way that you naturally flow. So part of that is connecting to the breath. Another part of that is connecting to the power of the word, right? So we set an intention. And shamanic work is very important to have an intention, have power behind your intention that allows you to really create the magic you want. Because really, ultimately, everything, each one of us is creating the world as we experience it. And part of that creation process is your thoughts, is your words. So as you focus your words on what you want, then you can put your energy into that direction and create that outcome, ultimately. And the other key, we said breath, and the next one is feeling. And so being able to feel what's going on in your body is important, because oftentimes, especially here, where we're so consumed with the world and Donald Trump and how am I going to pay my bills and everything that comes up in Western society and in life in general, you know, can the pressures of life can oftentimes take us away from feeling what's inside, because everything is outside stimulus, whether we're connecting with our friends socially or connecting with our family or connecting with our bosses. Or whatever relationships we have, that, you know, obviously the only way to connect is externally. And so these pressures can take us away, right? We don't have enough time. We get home, we're tired. We get home and we watch television. You know, there's not much, we don't practice, and it's not part of our culture to be like, hey, sit down and meditate, feel what you're feeling. And so oftentimes most of the answers are in feeling what's going on. So that stress in the back of your neck, or that problem that's been lingering with your partner or your friend or your mother, you know, all of those things that are lingering, that are kind of areas where we get stuck, they live in our body, right? And so as we feel them versus pushing them away because they're too much or we're unsure or whatever, we don't have time, when we start to feel them, then we can process them and move through them, allow them to either give us their lesson, because ultimately anything that is bugging us in our life is just wanting to tell us something, right? There's a message there. There's something we're ignoring. There's something we're not paying attention to. There's something that needs our full awareness. And so through the mind, when we use our word, through the feeling when we use our bodies and our senses, and through the breath, we can create that freedom within. We can activate the luminous healer within and really activate that light that allows us to see these areas that were in the shadow or in our unconscious.
I have this thought of when I was sitting outside and feeling the sun, and for some reason, this was after I met you once, and then months after that, I had this feeling of the sun as the healer, and I had you come to mind, that you were letting this loving energy come forth, and for some reason, thinking of you in that way, like, let me feel the love, like, even for myself, but also, like, for people that I care about, like friends. So it's really crazy how even that thought can help.
Yeah. And that's a beautiful thought to have now in particular. If this airs anytime soon, today is June 22nd, which is still within the window of the summer solstice here in the north side of the hemisphere. And this is an important time for this area of the world, because this is when we have the longest days, right? This in particular yesterday and today and the next day, the sun will be in the sky for the longest amount of time. So you probably noticed that the sun's going down close to 9 p.m. nowadays. And with that brings in new energy. So you could say there's downloads happening right now if we connect with the sun. And so a good practice at this time is to really connect with the sun and see, what is the sun saying? What is it doing? I had this image maybe around the time that you asked me about the sun. I think it was serendipitous that the sun was communicating with me. It was a sense that I was connecting, or it was connecting with me. We were connecting with each other. And it was this vision of that the sun is really the main feeling body of this solar system, right? It's the center, it's the nucleus. So ultimately, whatever the sun feels, we feel eventually. It feels it first and then we feel it. And it was this vision of like, and I think it comes from Rastafarian. I mean, for me, there was no connection to anything other than the image, which was that the sun was this lion with dreadlocks. And each dreadlock of the lion was each of the planets. So ultimately, all of the planets, at least in this solar system, come from the Earth, from the sun. And so the sun is the primary energy, the primary force, the primary consciousness of all of the planets. And so it's interesting because as it evolves or it moves or it grows, everything around it is influenced by that, mm-hmm. including ourselves, who are more like strands inside of those dreadlocks.
Or dandruff.
Yeah, yeah. Even dandruff or lice, some people would say.
Ooh. Will there be another song that you have in mind?
There will be another song. And that other song is by a tribe called Red. Mm-hmm. And that's all we could say about it right now.
Okay. That's good. And if there's anything you'd like to share to people that have never tried to get in touch with their spirituality or just look inwardly instead of outwardly on the road, what advice would you have or what would you want to share?
Tell me more.
So if someone has heard of meditation, mm-hmm. they've never practiced it, how would you intro them to beginning to maybe look inside themselves and find presence?
I would say that it starts with the breath. Actually, I learned this. I've known this, but it's come back to my consciousness recently. There's a couple things. There's four things we can do to get into meditation. One of those things is to pull our shoulders back so that it's like you're hanging your shoulders on a coat rack behind you. So this opens your heart. And physiologically speaking, when our heart is open and when our shoulders are back and relaxed, the body is open and relaxed, which allows us to receive more. We can have our palms up or out. So if you're sitting in a chair, for example, you sit back on the chair, you make your spine erect, and then you roll your shoulders back and just let them relax back there. Then the next thing would be to open your palms, which is another form of receptivity and openness. And the next thing is deep, slow breathing. And so even just those three steps alone, if you can sit with that and allow yourself to breathe, you know, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, and bring in that idea of openness, receptivity, knowing that you are part of something bigger. You're part of this entire world. You're part of this entire solar system. And opening up to the fact that you don't really have to do much to make this body. The body came with the package. And most of the time, the body's doing all of the work. And so as we open up to the fact that you are taken care of, everything is perfectly fine in this moment. As long as this body's still working, as you got somewhere to sit, a roof over your head, you can even have the mantra, everything is good. I am taken care of. Everything is taken care of. You don't have to run the entire world. The world is running itself. But everything is going according to plan. So just having those deep, full body breaths. And with that breath, the final step is to really feel the breath go all the way down to the pit of your abdomen. And feel that abdomen can open up like a big balloon as you breathe in. And allow the breath to circulate through the body. And so if you don't want to think about anything when you meditate, which things will come up, a way to get out of that is just follow the breath going in through the nose. Follow the breath coming out of the body. And just have that be your focus. How long can you stay focused on that breath going in as it goes in through the nose, through the third eye, down your neck, down all the way to the abdomen, filling the body with new energy, new life, and then seeing the breath coming out of the body like a river of light, a river of energy. And if we can be in that place, the longer we can maintain that peace, the longer we can stay in the moment of the breath, of the body, that is a wonderful place to start with meditation.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
And we're here on the radar. I'm Sarah, and next to me I have a friend and the luminous healer in one. His name's Juan.
Yo. On the radar. So great to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
I appreciate you here.
It is a pleasure and an honor to be here. Thank you.
Maybe it's because I was in the sun all day yesterday, but I just feel very warm.
Yeah, the energy is rising.
Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Juan Alzate. I am the Luminous Healer, and so are you. You can find me at luminoushealer.com.
For Lakeshore Public Radio, I'm Sarah Opet.
Listen in a channel of sound, my ear like a vacuum, bugging up the boom, glisten like the sun, it's a drum, cursing all of them, drum, rising up from the ground, growing full like the moon. I'm planted like a seed, just let them get up and grow. I'm firm like a tree, I know that's what I know. So when them colors wonderful, like it was a rainbow. Let me tell you one time, man, and if you didn't know, I said the moonlight is lighting my night, a twilight from the night to my roof. Send praise, the proof, I'm looking up to the night. I swear I'm to get up, I 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 get up, I